So today I have a very simple question that has a very complicated answer. It's a question that we deal with every day of our lives, and I think we struggle with this question. What is truth? Today, more than ever, I think we struggle with this. Today, more than ever, we have this information age, and we have so much truth at our fingertips, at our phones, at our computers, that we have a lot of misinformation going on. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I've been like looking at this where you Google something, and you can Google something, and then you get an answer, and then you can ask it another question, and then you get another answer, and you can keep going deeper and deeper and deeper into this rabbit hole. Have you done that?
Yeah.
It's really quite amazing. It's actually pretty accurate most of the time. So I told you guys before, I was looking up things. I'm into all this thing about decibels, and I don't want to hurt my hearing. And even in this room, I'm always measuring decibels to make sure they don't get too loud for anybody's hearing. And there's all these different ways of measuring it. It's really quite complex. So I can go in and I can Google about a decibel. What is it? And what level is too loud, and what way to measure it, and what kind of devices are out there, and are they very accurate? I can go deeper and deeper and deeper into this subject. You can even Google about God. Now that's a little dangerous. You can Google about God, and these days you get more accurate information than ever, actually. I've been quite amazed at some of the answers I've seen come back when we've asked some really deep theological questions. It used to be like if you had this deep theological question, you had to start digging into the Word, and you had to look at commentaries, you had to see what people said, you had to cross-compare it, you had to spend a whole week on it trying to get your answers. But now you can just Google it. That's what our younger generation does with everything and anything. They just Google it. As a matter of fact, if you have a question, pretty much the younger generation is going to tell you, well, why don't you just Google it?
Not like it.
It's kind of crazy that this information is so easily accessible. But when it comes to God, sometimes you gotta work for it. There is a, like, when we talk about God and we talk about truth, what is it that we really know? Beyond a shadow of a doubt, what do we know?
God is love.
God is love. There's only three descriptions. I say this all the time, but I find it so amazing that there's only really three descriptions of God in the Word. And one is God is love. Not God shows love. I talked about this yesterday when we were doing the marriage ceremony, that God is love. It is a description of who He is. If you want to know what love is, it's God. If you want to know what God is, it's love. They are literally interchangeable. God is light, and I've talked before about when I see light now, it's a reminder of God, because God is light. That's what the Word tells us, and God is spirit. And then when we go deeper into that rabbit hole like I was talking about, we would say, well, God is love. What does that mean to me? It means that God is love, and God loves me. And if we go deeper into that rabbit hole, we find out that God not only loves me, but God created me. And all of this comes from the Word. So our only source of information is the Word. That's our only source that we have. We have the source of the Holy Spirit, but we have to interpret that source. And even the Word itself, we have to interpret that source. So not only do you have information, But you have to interpret the, right? You have to interpret the information. The information can mean something a little bit different for everybody, right? So we're back to what is truth? And these days, truth is a moving target. If you want to hear truth about one side of political stuff, you tune into one channel. If you want to hear about the other side, the Republican side or the Democrat side, you put on this other channel. And the newscasters will be more than happy to oblige you and to give you the biased opinion according to that side. That is not truth. That is opinion. God doesn't deal in opinion. God deals in truth. So our author, John, is dealing with this. He's dealing with all these people coming into the church and telling them things that are not true. And we've been talking about it here as well, that in our society, we have many different, I call them philosophies. The book I'm reading is calling them philosophies as well. Hey, yay. I don't call them religions because they don't have a real God. If they have a real God, they could be called a religion. But God is one God, one Spirit, and one faith. The Christian faith is the only true truth. Jesus is the truth. Faith there is. So we have a lot of other influences that are trying to distract us away from the truth. And who is that from? The enemy. I thought it was so interesting. I heard that thing on the radio here, on the way here, when I'm talking about the truth. And for Lori, she's sitting there talking about wanting to get out into the dating scene again, but she has all these lies that are telling her that she's not good enough, and that people aren't going to like her, that she's not going to be accepted, and she's getting all nervous about going back out into the dating scene. When I got to tell you, I've never met her. I really would love to meet her. But from what she says on the radio, this is a woman of God who loves God and has some amazing insights about God. I think she would be very interesting to go out on a date with and just have some conversation with. So I think all these things that are going around in her head, and this is what she said, are lies. And she's been buying into the lies too long. Anybody here buy into lies about yourself? Anybody ever have some self-doubt? Anybody like question, you know, whether or not they're good enough, whether or not they're worthy, whether or not lies, 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 lies. So in the church that John is running, these people are coming in and they have one major lie, and I really have to question this lie they have. You know what the lie is? That Jesus never became a human being. Now, why are they stuck on that one? You know, I question everything. You know, I spent a year and a half questioning whether or not Jesus Christ existed. Period. How can you prove it? How do you know he walked this planet? The Bible says so, but it's a book that was written, and I was pretty much a skeptic. So how do you prove it? I told you before, I went down the road of being an apologist and learning to defend my faith. And there is ample proof. There is archaeological proof. There is witnessing proof. There is persecution proof. There is people being changed and transformed before my eyes proof. There is supernatural things I have seen proof. There is proof as I look out at the skies and I see the clouds and the trees. And it's like, where did all that come from? There is proof everywhere of God, and there is proof everywhere of Jesus, and God is not afraid for you to look for the proof. Truth is truth. There is proof that truth exists.
Yes, Catherine, and we can tell that God is in our lives. Even though we don't see him, but he's in our lives, he washed all our sins away.
Listen to what Jan is saying. Jan is saying that there is proof that God is in our lives and that he's washed all of our sins away. You know, what the word tells us is true. It is God inspired, it is God ordained, and God made sure that there was nothing false in the word. The word is our basis, our beginning point for truth. So John's dealing with these people who want to mess up the church. And they want to say, hey, you know, like I told you before, anything that is physical is evil. And so they can't wrap their head around how in the world God would become a physical human being, a flawed human being, a physical entity. They can't wrap their head around it. So what they need to do is they need to get other people in their position, even though their position is false. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because false prophets have gone out into the world. So even this verse has been taken way out of context. Even I have taken it out of context, but I really am going to pull it back in today. We're not talking about spirits here, okay? We're talking about teachers. We're talking about pastors. We're talking about leaders. We're talking about anybody who's teaching anybody about God. We're talking about Sunday school teachers, youth directors. We're talking about anybody who will speak for God, okay? So let's read that again with that context in mind. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. That's how we know what we're talking about here, is because many false prophets, many false teachers, many false information has gone out. Is there a spiritual component behind that? You better believe there is. The enemy is using people to tell other people false things. I told you when I got a hold of a Quran, it says in the Quran that Jesus is not the Son of God. And I was just amazed that, like, they're taking their text and they're using it to say that Jesus is not the Son of God when they don't believe in Jesus in the first place. So why are they acknowledging Jesus if they don't believe in him in the first place? And why are they spending their text as saying he's not the Son of God? Because this is the crux of everything. Jesus is the Son of God. And so if we can get you to believe he's not, oh, well, we got you in my camp now, right? And that is exactly what's going on with John in the church. This is how you recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. So if you want to know whether or not somebody who's talking to you knows what they're talking about, they need to be talking about Jesus incarnate, God incarnate, coming in the flesh. Right? As we celebrate Christmas, you know, and Christmas has been in danger for a while now, as they take down lights and they take down nativity scenes. As we celebrate Christmas, and we need to continue to celebrate Christmas, we celebrate the incarnation of God becoming a baby. As we celebrate Easter, we celebrate God, Jesus, dying on a cross on Good Friday and being resurrected in the flesh. In the flesh. It's important that we understand that God is in the flesh, in Jesus, and that Jesus existed before all time began, and Jesus created all of us. All of these things are truth. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. The Antichrist. There is so much confusion over the Antichrist. There is so much fear about the Antichrist. There is so much trepidation about when this end time is going to come and the Antichrist is going to take over. But what it says in Scripture is that the Antichrist is already here. As a matter of fact, the Antichrist has been here for a long, long time. As a matter of fact, we are in end times since Jesus came on this planet. We are in end times. We have been in end times. We will continue to be in end times. And we'll continue to have anti-Christ. What does it mean? Like, if you have matter and you have anti-matter, what does it mean? What is anti-matter compared to matter? It's an opposite. It's an anti-matter. It's something that is not made of physical substance. It's a chaos of atoms. It's anti-matter. Anti-Christ means anything that is not Christ.
Against.
Anything against Christ. Anything that's talking about falsehood. Test the spirits. Whatever anybody tells you, including me, test it. How do you test it? What's your litmus test?
By God's word.
All you gotta do is cross-check it. Does it make sense with what the word's been telling you? And mind you, you'd have to be reading the word to know what the word tells you, right? And that's why I love this church and how we are in, that we are in these Bible studies for a year and reading the entire Old Testament or reading the Old and New Testament, and how we have our studies and how we have our classes and how we teach the young people who are coming back in here, who are going to go out and spread the word to other people, truth.
I think another way is asking the Holy Spirit to point us to the truth.
And Mary's also pointing out that we have a helper. We have God himself inside us to help us to interpret Scripture. All we got to do is tap into that and say, hey, Holy Spirit, help me out here. It's kind of like that assignment I was talking about how are you doing? Asking God how you're doing. Or as Jan said, hey, God, how are you doing? So as we have these conversations, spiritual conversations, God will enlighten us. John continues, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Let us hear that. The one who is in you is greater than everything. Everything and anything. Anytime anything is happening in your life, you have the one greater in you than any kind of circumstance. No matter what we face, we have God with us, walking us through it, and having his power to overcome it. This is truth. We need to know truth.
The Bible that we have is the truth. All we have to do is look it up and read the scripture, and it's the truth.
Jan is saying all we have to do, the Bible is truth. And all we have to do is look at a scripture and read it. What we're doing on Monday nights right now is memorizing scripture so that we have it stored inside of us. And I bet you know more scripture than you know. That you know that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son so that whoever believes in him shall never perish but have eternal life. You know that in your heart and mind. You know the Lord's Prayer by heart. You have all these things already memorized. You have all these things stored in you. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world and the world listens to them. This is the danger of our society today. The world is speaking, and it's speaking in volumes. It is actually nowadays speaking in video and audio. They don't even bother reading anymore. It's mostly all TikTok and videos and YouTube, and so it's all being introduced very quickly and with a lot of pizzazz, with a lot of graphics and fast pace, because our younger people don't really want to wait around to have a real long conversation. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
They want to get to the point, and even if it's not the right point, let's get to it so we can move on, and we got to go play baseball now. We got to go do something else now. And so our attention span is getting more and more limited, and so our media, who, by the way, our media tracks us, they watch what you're doing, and they're calculating everything, and it's not a human being anymore that's calculating it. It's a computer, and a computer is tracking all this stuff and feeding back into you what you already have, reinforcing opinions you already have. It's really quite diabolical of what is going on in this world. That is the world, and that is the influence that is on all of our children. And not just the children. We've already found out that there is this curve that has happened that children, young people, like what we had in the lock-in here, young people, and we're talking anywhere from 10 years old to 25 years old, young people, that whole span of people, are very depressed, are very isolated, are very much alone. And it just so happens that trend, they have it on a graph, and they can show the graph that started around 1997, and that is at the exact same time that the smartphone and the computer came to vogue. And the tracking is dead on with both graphs moving up parallel. Coincidence? I think not. This is what we're talking about in Scripture here, of the world and the world's influence on our children and this next generation coming up. This is the influence not just on the children, but also on us, and also on the parents and the grandparents. And so we need God. We need truth. We need to slow down and read the Scriptures and see what does God have to say about all this, because God has been speaking for thousands of years. So what's going on here in the church is they don't have the written word yet. They only have the testimony of the apostles who have walked with Jesus. They don't have the Old Testament and New Testament, and that it's all written in a nice book and all bound together. None of that exists yet. Final verse. We are from God. And whoever knows God listens to us. What a great responsibility. I want us to hear this. We have a responsibility. We hear from God. We read His word. We know God. And then there's this whole world influence that is coming against all of our young people and all the people in general who are listening to the world, but that you are listening to God, and you are this minority, used to be the majority, and people need to hear from you. You are a teacher. You are an encourager. You are someone who can share truth. You, with that, comes a great, and I mean a great, responsibility. I meet people all the time who are very spiritual. And I ask them one question. Well, first I make a statement. Hey, you've been really gifted by the Lord. I can tell. I can see it in you. What are you doing with it? Who are you talking with? How are you influencing some other people? Look what the scripture says here. We are from God. I want you to take that literal, that you are from God. You are God's representative in this crazy, mixed up world, that you are the one hope of somebody else getting out of the mix up into the world of the kingdom of God. You. And I'm sorry that it is this great weight of responsibility, but really I'm not. Because I know you're up for it. We are from God. And whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. You want to know what's true? God. You want to know what's correct? Jesus. You want to know what's accurate? The Holy Spirit. And you want to know who has it? You do. And you want to know who doesn't? The rest of the world. So, I mean, I'm not a mathematician here, but the equation is pretty obvious that if you have the quantity of what somebody else needs, you need to share that quantity so that person can have that quantity, and then you get this exponential effect, which I talk about all the time, so that that person goes to share it to somebody else, who shares to somebody else, and before long, God bath. You ever play the number game? I love the number game. It drives some people crazy. The number game goes like this. 1, double it, 2, double it, 4, double it, 8, double it, 16, double it, 32, double it, 64, double it, 128, double it, 256. I get lost after a while here. But the numbers start going up into the millions. Double it, 5 billion, 10 million, 20 million, double it, billions. So God's exponential factors is as we talk to others, who talk to others, who talk to others, we start having this exponential effect. And we get into God math. And God math changes the world to the kingdom. So what do we do with this? We listen to the truth. We listen to each other. We listen to the word. We listen to our teachers and our leaders. And then we become the teachers and leaders who help move the next generation. The church is looking very strongly right now at the next generation. Who's taking over? What's going to happen next? Who's getting equipped? How many schools and colleges do we have? How do we pass along the faith? Like I said about Christmas, it's just one small example. A nativity scene. That's an important thing. It's been an important thing in our United States of America for 250 years as we celebrate 250 years. That nativity scene has stood for 250 years, and now they want to take it out of places. You have the truth. People will listen to you. You are that nativity scene. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you that you've given us such responsibility. We take that responsibility serious. We take it serious with our children and with other people's children. We take it serious with our co-workers and the person who's behind the counter. We take it serious with our neighborhood and our nation. We take it serious with our world. We take it serious as we pray for TTI and these other organizations who are working so hard to spread your word. But we know that we have the truth. The truth. And we know that others need the truth. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the truth. And that you've empowered us to share you, to empower others. So we ask, dear Father God, give us courage, give us boldness, give us opportunity. Give us light and love and spirit to share you. This we ask through Jesus Christ. Amen. Up the verse of what he showed me, because what he showed me is that God casts out all fear. I want you to think about that for a minute. What are you fearful of? And if you're not fearful of it today, you will be tomorrow. What's coming up? What circumstance? What changes are happening? Even as you get married, there's probably some trepidation, some like, oh, well, what happens now? How do we do this? What goes on? Even in good things, there can be some fear. He's shaking his head, no, that's beautiful. Amen to that. But with every change, we have some level of uncertainty, do we not? With every diagnosis, we have to deal with it. With every circumstance, as I paint the picture of this world, it's a little fearful. But what Scripture tells us, and what I didn't know, I kind of suspected it, that it was coming up soon in 1 John, and it is. It's coming up next week. And it says in 1 John that perfect love casts out fear. Now, we're talking about truth today. I want you to take that truth in. So the next time you are fearful of anything, anything at all, I want you to come back to the Scripture as we were just talking about and know that perfect love, we're going to get into what that means, perfect love casts out, gets rid of fear.
Perfect love is God.
Perfect love is God. And God is in you. And God casts out all fear. So whatever situation, whatever's going on, not just with you, but with friends of yours, or family, or situations, or a flood, or anything, God will cast out the fear. I need that. I need that truth every day, with every situation. That truth that Lori was whether or not I should date that person on the radio with all these lies like she's not, well, you, who's going to want you? Lies. God will cast that out of her. Do you see the power that you wield in understanding this one? This is just one truth. This one truth. And that you can just take And take that to heart. Take that to the bank. Take that and know it is for sure that God will cast out all fear. Love casts out, gets rid of fear. And we're going to talk about fear next week. Let us pray, dear Father God. We thank you for truth. We feel like a boat bouncing around in a sea of lies and deception and things that seem to be, and we're bouncing around on this boat. But in that boat is Jesus. And Jesus is the truth. And Jesus can get out of that boat and walk on that water. And he will calm that sea. We see that. We know that. We trust that. As we go into this world, we go in knowing that we carry the responsibility of truth. Thank you for trusting us with that truth. May we share it. This we ask through Jesus Christ. Amen. We are dismissed to love and to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.